Welcome to the podcast. It is episode 552. Currently in real world life, we're at ATA show right now, just having a ball.
Having a blast.
Celebrating new products from Trophy Line. Oh, what's up? You're tuning into this show. You get to celebrate it with us. Welcome.
What a queenie-ding.
It's like you're with us.
That's right.
This just in, here in the Working Class Bowhunter Studio, all our equipment is falling apart. If somebody could please send Allen wrenches, that'd be great.
Metric and standard, please, because we're not sure what size it is.
Yeah, it's just, they're round now. So if anybody's got round Allen wrenches, be great. I don't care if they're Pittsburgh brand.
The old Harbor
Fuck
Freighters.
Snap-on, you know what I'm saying? They didn't sponsor us. If you guys were to get one tool sponsor, who would you put?
Harbor
you
Freight.
Pittsburgh? Or that iron built or whatever the hell.
Just, I got a hookup for Snap-on, I'm just saying.
Just Harbor
What's
Freight
that?
In general.
I got a hookup for Snap-on.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Snap-on can suck my
yeah,
ass.
Yeah, that's pretty
Dude,
bougie,
what the
though.
Fuck?
It's overpriced fucking junk.
Fuck me, right?
Nah. I go to Harbor Freight and get a whole sponsored. Fucking wrench set for $19. It's a lifetime warranty. What the fuck?
I watch guys spend so much money on the rape van.
That same wrench set.
The rape
and their and their chrome.
You ever heard it called the rape van?
No.
You come in and just get your fucking shit handed to you.
Like, most of them guys have a fucking loan that they're paying on for 30 years.
Dude, yeah. Like, man, look at my cool Snap-on roll box. Like, when I worked at Deere, I'm like, yeah, sick, dude. Look at this Pittsburgh when I kicked the side of it. I'm like, this is the same shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You just spent $3,500 on a fucking roll box to keep at John Deere.
Yeah. And
put that shit at home in your own garage, bro. Get the cheap shit for here.
You have a set of wrenches that was $4,000. Like,
hey, listen, I'm not actually hating. Their tools are nice. I'm just hating because I never bought any of them. Right? I'm jealous, okay?
Oh, I'm hating for sure because it's like, you're telling me this wrench won't do the same thing as this wrench and it's $400 cheaper?
I would tell you this, though. Impact sockets, if you're not buying Pittsburgh impact sockets, that they're the move, dude.
Oh, dude. I ugga-dugged some of those impacts and none of them broke.
It's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'll have them fucking tapered down. I'll have a fucking 3/4 inch impact down to 1/2 inch, down to 1/4 inch. Just fucking gag, just rounding out the inside
with
of
a
them.
A 13 foot breaker bar, and that bitch ain't going nowhere.
Dude, you got a pipe on it?
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
get just, the old jack handle on there.
Dude, I would do that shit just to scare the safety guy at Deere. You know, he's
the old farmer extender.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Right.
Man. Good news. What's everybody
I
using?
I went off on a fucking tool.
Tools are fun, man. You gotta to a point, you kind of have to like collect them all. They're man Pokemon.
Yep. Collect the whole set.
Even if it's like shit you don't use. Like, dude, I was at Farm and Fleet. We're just bullshitting at this point. I was at Farm and Fleet the other day. I'm just looking at Milwaukee cordless shit because I just want more, you know?
And everybody just, needs more.
And I'm just looking at like what's my next victim, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you're like not going to use it that often. Dude, any excuse I got. Like, I had my fucking Milwaukee snowblower out, or a leaf blower out, blowing snow off the deck this morning just because. It's fun.
Just because. Just because I can.
Because I can.
Because I got one.
If you're going to do a cordless power tool company, we'll say it that way to be generic, what brand would you want to be sponsored by?
DeWalt.
DeWalt. Yeller, huh?
I had DeWalt for years with the great big battery, and I've still used some of them. They're awesome, but I switched over to Milwaukee last year, and it's pretty pretty noticeable, the difference.
I like Milwaukee a lot.
The battery life is insane. Like, my grease gun, I put the big battery on my grease gun. I went the whole harvest, and it was still on, like, 2 bars when I got done.
You
got
to grease your shit.
Oh, every day.
Really? I
mean, every day, yeah.
Oh, that's impressive.
Saves your elbow.
What's that?
I'm too lazy for that.
Oh, dude. A battery-powered grease guns. I used to have to grease a clamshell bucket on an excavator. We did it with a fucking hand pump one.
No.
The company I worked for at the time was so cheap. And I swear I got arthritis in my right elbow.
I tell them to eat a dick.
Well, if we finally got one, you know, a battery-powered one. I don't
know. Night and day. When you're hitting, you know, 10 different zerts a day, it saves you a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Stupid. What do you know about that, Doug?
What do you know about that, Doug?
Doug doesn't even know how to work a fucking hand pump grease gun.
You know how to change a grease gun?
No.
That's a good test. That's a good
I
test.
I figure it out.
Can you change a tube on a grease gun?
Yeah, I can do that.
You ever put your dick in a grease tube? No. That seems like something you would do.
It was one time, all right?
Watch out for them sharp edges. Yeah.
I fell on it.
You gotta go in Doug's got to go in the plastic cap in.
I fell.
You're not pulling the cat tin lid off the fucking end of the grease.
Ouch.
All right.
That went south real quick.
Tools and grease and stuff. I do love that. I do love that. That's a good combo, man. Quality. Crescent sponsors a lot of people in the hunting game.
Owned by Crescent actually owns a lot of companies like DeWalt.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Well, who Joe Humphrey's brother works for.
Oh, shit. Yeah, because we were making fun of him one time, just for no reason. But Gear Wrench is what? Gear Wrench is also...
I don't know, Crescent and DeWalt, like there's like 13.
I don't even know Gear Wrench.
13 brands underneath that one.
I had a bunch of Gear Wrench, like ratcheting wrenches and shit. They're fucking badass.
Tecton's pretty good for a cheap set.
So is Harbor Freight.
Harbor Freight.
I got some nice ratcheting wrenches from Harbor Freight. I got the minis for just working on like the Ranger, getting little tight spots.
90% of my toolbox is Harbor Freight.
Why not?
That's fucking what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got the colored sockets?
No.
Look, we're right back into tools. Look, we're off it. We're right back into it.
Might just need to do a whole separate podcast here.
Nerd out. Well, anyway.
They're screwdrivers so cheap. You just use one, you throw it away. And go buy another one. Buy a whole set for $8.
That's
what's up?
That's a good point, yeah. Okay. Noted.
Cheaper than socks.
Harbor Freight, if you're listening, sponsor us.
Cheaper than socks.
they are. How is it possible?
I don't know.
I love it. All right. Shout out to Harbor Freight. If some Harbor Freight rep was listening, Harbor Freight needs a van and go around to work job sites.
But you can actually afford it. Like you just pay cash.
Dude.
You don't have to take a loan out.
Their van's all beat up.
It's just a shitty old UPS van.
It's all beat up. It's old DHL van.
Yeah.
It's all beat up from running into the back of the Snap-on guy.
One of those
old
folks fucking vans.
Yeah, it's got the fucking chairlift on it. Yeah, dude, fuck Snap-on, you know?
Jeez. Yeah, damn it.
I don't believe that. But anyway, the podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery. What's up? You could probably buy some Harbor Freight tools to tune into your Elite.
Facts.
Omnias are showing up. Doug, I think we should showcase your Omnia. This episode.
Like right now?
Yeah, let's just talk about it.
No, tomorrow.
Oh, she's a beaut, Clark.
Tell me about it.
I mean, it's very blue.
What are you naming it?
What is the name of that blue?
So
I know the name, if you want the name.
I'm sitting on it. I don't know if that's gonna be the name or not. I think we do better.
Can we vote on it right now?
Well, I don't got that many names in my head right now.
What's the first one?
Blue Balls.
Yes.
The Smurf.
That's a good one. Blue Ball's way better. Yeah, Papa Smurf would be pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Papa Smurf.
I can't think of anything else.
But you went Cobalt Blue.
Cobalt Blue. It's slicker than shit.
It is. I'm always jealous. Bold decisions, but every time they come in, I'm always like a little jealous.
Always
hey, random.
Up.
Cobalt's a good brand. Tool brand.
Yeah, not bad. Lowe's.
Lowe's. Cobalt. Great brand.
Feels really good, though, when you hold it. It feels nice.
Uh-huh. Blue
or
Balls, huh?
Flung some arrows.
Okay, Blue Balls it is.
Well, I don't know yet. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I do like Blue Balls, though.
We'll get you a little license plate that says Blue Balls. You can hang it below it.
Dude, we'll get you those little truck nuts you can hang off the stabilizer.
Off the stabilizer. Right at the base of the stabilizer, so the stabilizer looks like a crank.
I'll 3D print some.
Oh, my God. We're ruining this podcast.
Yeah, Trophyline's not going to be happy.
Should we just start over and this? We can start this on.
How's your product launch going?
They're going to sell a million of them.
I wonder what kind of tools they use to put them together.
Oh, shit.
I'll have to hit them up and ask. Podcast is also brought to you by Novix Tree Stands. Did you guys get entered or enter somebody in the community giveaway? Did you? That's a pretty cool thing they were doing, giving away a couple prizes. But we did the... You know, what kind of mobile hunter podcast are you? A couple weeks ago with Frank, stirred up some fun on the internet as we knew it would.
Yep.
But all in good fun, I think. What type of mobile hunter are you? We made up three categories, type A, B, and C. We talked Hilo or Echo. I think we all kind of lean towards the Hilo, but we all use both, you know, for their purpose. So
I hung one tonight, a Hilo.
A Hilo?
Yep.
Good sit?
Good sit.
Man, late sit.
Late sit.
Bringing her in home.
Yep. Fucking ninth inning, bro.
It is. I'm pulling for you. Use code WCB22. That's probably not active anymore because we're in 2023, but just put a 3 on the end. Try it. See, made in USA. We like them. We think you'll like them too. NovixOutdoors.com. They're the shit.
Yeah.
If you're going to be at ATA, come out, see them. Well, I don't know if they'll have a booth there, but they'll at least be in the working class bow hunter media room. We should say that if you're going to be at ATA, Come see us there, room 120. The podcast also brought to you by Dialed Archery. Have you seen them? The Arxo series? They're in. They're badass. Easily the best, most sleek-looking sight in the game right now.
Easy.
Lots of color, customizable options. You can go on, click Build Your Dovetail. You know, you pick right or left-handed. Click one. You can choose your switch tape. You want it on the inside or the outside of the dial? What color do you want your frame? What color do you want the void dial to be?
Dude, look at that frame. That's sweet.
You can customize in any color.
The most important choice right there.
Pretty much. That is an important choice. The void dial. You can pick.
Just order them all, and then you can change them out for other boat
colors.
That is
true.
Yeah. Pretty
pin size.
God, isn't that sexy? It is a very attractive sight. If you're going to go ahead and get a new bow, you might as well get a badass sight that fits the bill for your bow. You're not going to put junk on a brand new bow.
You look like you know what you're doing.
That's right. Check them out. Dialed Archery, code working class to save yourself some money on shipping. If you don't use that, just say, hey, what's up? We heard about you through working class, and we appreciate you. They'll be in studio here real soon. Excited on that. So check out dialedarchery.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Camo Fire.
Mm.
Camo Fire is a pretty fun company and a pretty fun one to do partnerships with, because I think there's a huge benefit in it for our people. If you know you have a hunt coming up and you need products, you can basically check Camo Fire daily, weekly, and basically capture deals throughout the year and save up for your big hunt. You got an elk hunt coming up next fall. Start preparing for it now. You need rain gear? You probably do. You know, get to Huntworth, get to Camo Fire, get what you can, and get on there. Packs, meat bags, all that shit, tents, everything. Doug, what do we say about Camo Fire?
Delete your browser history.
Thanks.
Don't get in trouble. New year. Don't start off terrible.
That's all. Check them out, camofire.com.
Don't start off in the doghouse.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah, I basically live there.
You live?
I'm a dog.
Podcast also brought to you by Big Time. I hope you listened to last week's episode. We consumed a fair amount of Big Time on the podcast.
Yep. Yes, we did.
We
I think I grew an inch.
We talked about BYOB, build your own blend. We have our own menu of WCB blends.
We do.
Coming out. So get on there and get yourself some Kurtz cocktail.
Check out the stash blend.
I got a question. Is everyone here going to put their own blend in this year?
Fucking right. Believe in your own brand, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to put Austin's in, I think.
Just stay with yours.
Thanks for helping me sell that, bud.
The Last Supper. Yours will win.
Gave up on your own.
The name is unbeatable.
It's too good.
Nobody can beat that. Everyone else has got lame-ass names.
I wish I could take credit for that, but Joe came up with that.
He's a marketing genius. He came up with all the names. Sweet.
Joe shot a buck tonight.
I know.
We'll talk about that later. Shout out to Joe. Use code WCB2023. Save yourself some money on some BYOB. The Last Supper. Because we know that's just going to be the bestseller.
Yeah.
The podcast also brought to you by Huntworth. Tarnin, I said it a couple podcasts ago, I believe it's probably the best looking pattern in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to beat. I've been wearing my Huntworth Heat Boost jacket around as daily wear. Mm-hmm. And I sweat a lot more than I normally do.
I had that shit on tonight and I was toasty.
You're wearing it right now. Well, not your Heat Boost.
Not the Heat Boost, but
you're wearing the hoodie.
The hoodie.
And you're looking good,
dude. I'm going to put my face mask on.
I can see it.
You look good.
Ooh, you got your headset on.
Hide that face.
Yeah. Please. Damn.
Ninja.
Let me take a picture of you. Yeah, put your hat back on over your hood.
Now put your headphones on.
Wait, how am I supposed to take a drink?
Yeah, put your headphones on. We'll have to see if Huntworth can make special alcoholic.
Yeah, we got
to
put a straw hole in there.
Eric.
I don't know why I'm smiling.
I felt happy when you did. But check out Huntworth. Use code WCB15. The Heat Boost right there, I think, especially you guys that are hustling out to late season. I mean, shit, Austin, you know better than anybody right now.
Oh, yeah. We put that stuff to the test.
We're going to talk about that on next week's show.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to get more into detail on that. So check out huntworthgear.com, code WCB15. And Old Barn Taxidermy. Hell, a lot of our deer are piling back in from Old Barn. Sam called me yesterday. He's getting ready to start the Geyer Buck shoulder mount replica. and he's using the cape from my October buck on that, on a like wall pedestal. So pretty pumped about that. Yeah. When, you got your 8-point back already?
Yep.
You're not going to bring it to the studio?
I forgot.
Huh? Hey, Doug's slipping.
Dude, shitless.
It just looked good in my basement.
Dude, Doug gets a girlfriend, doesn't give a fuck about his homies anymore.
No.
I did never said that. And
well, you implied it.
You showed it.
I said, know. I'm keeping this one for me.
Actions speak louder than words, Doug.
Fact.
Shit, I'll bring it.
Right now.
Go get it.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Right now.
Why aren't you in your truck yet?
I'll go get it. I'm not coming back.
Yeah, you are.
Exhibit A.
Damn.
Check out Old Barn Taxidermy.
Check
Fort Madison, Iowa. Tell them that we sent you. We are doing the giveaway. Once season closes, we're going to pick a winner for a free shoulder mount from WCB listeners. So if you took a deer there and you didn't say, hey, listen to Working Class,
yo,
you fucked
out.
Up. Yeah. You're going to say you fucked up. I just said
I
it
know,
for you.
Yeah.
Check them out. We like them. Thank you to all our partners. Moving on, we're just going to get you to this episode. We bullshitted for long enough, had some fun. Hope you enjoy this one. A little different pace of an episode. And Doug just quietly reminded me as a veteran shout out.
Good. I do. This one's submitted by Dale Kettner. And the veteran is Will Kettner. He's in the U.S. Air Force Special Operations. That's pretty neat. My wonderful husband, Will, recently retired from the military, having served his country well beyond the typical service career. A career service member is eligible to retire with 20 years of service. Will honorably and unselfishly served for 39 years.
Holy smokes.
Shit.
Wow.
27 years active duty and 12 years National Guard. He served two tours in Iraq, served in Kuwait. Oh, boy, these are some hard ones. Astana, Lithuania, and many other locations. Sets for hunting and archery.
It for sure didn't say many other locations. Doug just... Okay.
It did. Will has been hunting since the age of 12 and began bow hunting at an early age. Through the years, he traveled many times to Illinois to chase big whitetails. In conjunction with his retirement, we were looking to relocate in September of 2021. We bought a farm in Pike County, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently in the process of moving from Pennsylvania to Pike County. Will is busy driving back and forth every few weeks, learning the property, establishing food plots, shed hunting, coordinating the new house build. He listened to the podcast the entire drive.
Shout out to you, man.
He says, you are never done learning, no matter how many deer you put a tag on.
That's
sounds
right.
Like our guy.
That's awesome.
Hey, thank you for your service, buddy. That's a long right haul. Cheers.
Thank you, sir. 39 years.
Thank you for your service, Will, and thank you for spending that, Dale.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Dale. Dang, you boys got to get to the studio. You're not too far south.
Yeah, they should be all moved in by now.
Yeah, get settled. Mm-hmm. Invite us down. We'll hunt your shit.
What's up?
What's up? That's awesome, man. That's a long haul.
39 years.
Woof.
What have you done for this country, Doug?
I work for the military, bro.
Yeah, I know. I haven't done anything compared to these guys.
Kind of stepped on your own foot there, didn't you?
Hey, it wouldn't be funny if I didn't. It wouldn't be funny if I didn't. That's also the thing, too, you know, like social, like people like take our jokes like too seriously. I'm like, listen, a lot of the stuff we're doing is like self fucking
deprecating.
We're making fun of ourselves pretty much.
Also, too, like the mobile hunting thing, people get so worked up about it. Hey, we're kidding.
We knew we were going to ruffle some feathers with that one.
Come on, laugh a little. That's what we're
here
for. Make
a joke.
It's, dude, imagine if we were literal about everything. Imagine.
We wouldn't be here.
We'd be like every other podcast.
We'd be fired.
I'd have to kick my own ass.
Kick my own ass. I'd just be drunk and no podcast hobby.
So like we were before the podcast.
Yeah, but tagged out, nothing to do. Hang out with my family. What the fuck? All right, let's get on the podcast. Hope you enjoy this one. Thanks for being here.
Run, Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Work, class, work, class, work, class.
Working class bow hunter. It is episode 552. Cranking in just the first few podcasts of the new year here.
Getting up there.
We are joined by two of the good gentlemen from the Trophy Line crew, Mr. Sean and Mr. Weston. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, boys? What's going on?
Well, I wish you guys could be in studio for this, but we're both busy. We're doing this via the interwebs, a.k.a. witchcraft, a.k.a. black magic. But it's good to at least see your guys' faces.
Making it work.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely wish we were there compared to where we're at. But, we'll see each other here real soon, though.
Real soon. Okay. Trophy Line has quickly evolved. I think Trophy Line is changing people's minds in the mobile hunting game from not just being a saddle hunting company. And I know we touched on that when you guys were here in studio, but you guys have came out with so many products this year that I think everyone's like, how you guys were a machine gun of new stuff. And I don't get how one company can do that the way you guys have, but I feel like you quickly like shock the mobile hunter consumer as like, oh, this is more than a saddle company.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you said that, because we feel like the level of river has risen. So if we just keep getting a longer snorkel, it's been a madhouse around here, but all good. It was our dream when we launched this company was really to make it a mobile hunting company, not just a saddle company. And the first couple of years, obviously, we were building into the saddle market side of it, but I think especially this last year, especially the end of this last year, and as we lead into 2023, I think people can start greatly appreciating the mobile hunting side of it, right?
Yeah.
Everything outside of saddles. And so it's been exciting around here. I know we've been keeping Weston busy on all our launches and guys like yourself, putting new gear out. So I'm just excited to get ready for 2023 with some new product we'll be launching at ATA and really just a lot more education too along with that in 2023.
Yeah, Weston's got to just be stressed over there.
It was like one. I think we were dropping one a week, like during peak season. when I'm trying to also like fit in hunting, and it was just madding. It was.
I'm crazy. Stressed getting podcasts out and they're dropping new products. Yeah. by the way, we have two guest hosts in here. You guys are like, who are those strange men? We have Lee Hearn here, the cult leader.
What's up, guys?
And Chris J over here as well. They are Trophy Line customers, consumers, Trophy Line users, I guess. Okay. It sounds like they're addicts.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. They're a user.
Yeah.
A TL user.
Yeah.
But no, man, I had a great, successful Trophy Line season. I have my first saddle kill ever out of the Vanatic, and that's on the table here in front of us. And I FaceTimed Sean right on the recovery of that deer.
Right, so. It was awesome. He's like, you have to pick up.
Yeah, he's at like a kid's ball game. I'm like, listen, you don't understand.
I left. I was like, I got to go. I got important stuff.
Kurt's FaceTime. It was business. It was a marketing call.
It was a business mock. So it was awesome. I was so excited for you. Because I know like talking about in the front end of it, right? And, because guys that aren't into it or don't believe it at all, they always give it crap, whatever. And, it is what it is. It's part of the territory. But I always tell people, like, just give it a try, right? Just give some effort to it, and you'll realize it's a great tool. Right? It's not end all, but it's a great another tool to the arsenal that you have. And I was so excited when you killed that deer. It's just on how it worked out, and it, obviously came out perfect for you. So very, very, very cool.
It was great, man. And the Vanatic, I think, I had your guys' other saddle before, and they're all great. But I love the Vanatic. It's like, it's comfortable. It worked for me. The setup was great for me in that tree. And it's a learning curve, learning how it's hard to, it sounds so silly when I say it that way, but it's just, I know how to hang a tree stand. I know what I want. I've done that for so long. Yeah. I can look at the tree and be up the tree and be almost set how I need it. A saddle, I'm still learning, like, especially with like the Wingman. In my head, I'm like, I should have just been like, climb straight up to where you want to be. But I'm so used to an offset for a stand or whatever. So just different things like that. Your strong side to weak side took some adjustment this season, but I hunted the shit out of that Venatic, and I used all the platforms I had. I used them, and I went for it, and I did hanging hunts day after day and sit after sit. So, I mean, Lee got to get the blunt of all my game plans and moving and all the shit. So I truly used it. And if anybody wants to talk shit, go ahead and talk shit, but I'm tagged out.
What's up? Did you like find yourself like this year more so than ever? I was just deeper into public and stuff, but like, I just found myself sitting for 20, 30 minutes under a tree, just like sitting there, like feeling the wind in that particular spot, brand new spot. And I'm just like totally concentrated on the exact tree from like 10 feet to 10 feet over. And like, I don't think I've ever gone super detailed this, like as I did this year. And I'm sure from a new like saddle hunter standpoint this year, you were probably even more dialed into that.
Yeah. You know, the one sit where I think it was like the turning point for me. Well, you know what? It's hard to break it down because I tagged. I already had a buck out of the Venatic already at this point. I was going for my second buck, and I carried everything in through standing corn and made a hanging hunt on a real big deer. And you know, once I got in the tree, you know, I kind of did that. I'm looking. I'm like, what's the right tree? And then I'm like, you know, fuck. Okay, that one's gonna work because I'm sitting here him-hawing. I just need to get in something and then figure it out. So I just get kind of rammy. I had the wingman and mini sticks with aiders, which get the double sticks for your aiders. So, and I was texting Weston about that too. I'm like, I don't think this is set up, but I did it. And I got up in the tree and I can hear the buck I was hunting sneezing, coughing in his bed from where I was sitting, which was kind of neat. You know, I'm like, how the hell did I sneak through standing corn and pull this off? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, the standing corn seems loud because you're in it, but I think it also masked a lot of your sound as well. But so it's just, you know, you got to just go for it and trial by fire a little bit with it, and then you get in your groove.
Yeah. 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 100%. I feel like that too. I feel like I just kitted mine out, you know, more this year than ever before with gear hangers and stuff. We went to a Mobile Hunter Expo and I met a lot of people and kitted it out more so than ever before. And like, once I saw the whole system come together, I just, everything started for me personally. I ran the wingman with three sticks this entire year, pretty much. You know, except for the later parts of this year, tested some new product and it was just fire. I loved it. It was really working for me this year.
Yeah.
That's what you end up doing like year two, right? You get a year under your belt and then year two, you start making tweaks. You know,
I'm rammy. I don't know how you guys feel about your hanging hunts, but I'm pretty like, well, I think the first time I sat in a trophy line saddle, I just went hunting.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even practice. I'm just like, let's go.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
Trial by fire.
Like, I think I'm hooked in here, right?
Watched a couple of your videos and I'm like, I'm just going to go climb in a tree and see how it goes.
I'm good. Yeah. But I left my wingman in a tree because I'm actually going to go back. I'm going to leave it in that spot. Well, maybe not. I haven't to see. That's what I mean. I'll decide if I'll play shed hunting and I'll look at it and be like, hey, do I want to leave that? And then I'll probably pull it, but move it. But I like the spot I was in so much that I'm in a tree that's like slanted like this. It's hard to explain. I'll take some pictures of it, but I almost killed a good buck out of that set.
We should probably switch that out. Maybe throw a mission in there. If you didn't have a preset like that, just throw the mission in there and then you're called a day.
Yeah. That's probably
what I do with some of my leases.
Yeah. That's probably the smart move. Hey, let's
keep your wingman to run and gun.
Yeah, that's probably the best move. That's probably what I'll do, which is it's not hard to take it down. So, there's a few products I do want to touch on that we haven't touched on since the last time you guys were in studio. The thigh rig, I want to touch on because that's like my style, because I'll cram everything in that for a hanging hunt. But if you guys can talk about like why you came out with it and kind of some of the details on it.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's probably one of my favorite items that we come out with at the end of this year. You know, it was purely an item that we looked at from something you can utilize all year. You know, anything from like turkey season. I used it all last year. I kept a lot of stuff in there from, you know, a slate call, box call, my mouth calls, some locators, my like a little kill kit, and license, and I was gone, you know, and you throw your keys in there. And so I used that a lot then. And then this later in this hunting season, like deer season, you know, we call it the ES thigh rig. Best, basically, it stands for essential shit.
I love that.
And so, you know, we all like to carry too much crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can literally put a kill kit in there, my license, my, you know, one bottle of water in there. The side pocket will fit a rangefinder perfectly, and a grunt tube, and like a hook to hang your bow, and you're gone. Like, and we designed it so one, it wraps around your waist, and then you have an extra with the clip around your thigh. But later season when it starts getting you're starting wearing heavier gear, I actually wear it like a messenger bag, so it's up over my shoulder and hanging down. So you just slide it in front of you, ready to go. And if you want to pull it off and hook it up, you can easily do that.
Mm.
So we really designed it as purely a 12-month item. Like, you can use it for, and honestly, in the summer, I open there's a back pocket that's flat against your thigh. I just open that up and I put my arrows in, and I use it as a quiver, you know, in the yard.
Yeah.
So
I love gear. I don't want this to come off wrong. You guys make gear, right? So it's going to sound contradictory.
Hey,
I love gear, but I also fucking hate it. And I only hate it really when I'm just trying to grab and I'm Rammy, right? It goes back to that. Like, yeah. I just want to get it and go.
Yeah.
And so yep. I'm going to probably try and cut down for the day for the whitetail hunts.
Yep.
And I think about what I use in a whitetail sit, and it's not that much. And why do I have so much all the time?
Yeah.
You know,
pack way too much, yeah, and totally. You use a tenth of what you take.
Oh, every time.
The same way.
Yeah. So, and you know, that's a good thing to have rocked and ready to go that you can just grab and get in.
Yep.
And just see.
It's also small enough. You could probably put into another pack real quick. Like, see? Okay, here's my kit. Just throw it in and go. You know, and I know have that base, and then I build upon it from there. Like,
yeah, that's a good call.
You know, self-filming, just, okay, if I'm going to not self-film, I can at least take this out and I'm rolling.
Right.
Versus the bigger pack.
I like it. Yeah, that's the fun thing about it. It's customizable. You can do your thing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we wanted to be able to use it with a saddle if guys want to or not, right? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of guys use it this gun season, just carrying their stuff and extra shells and things like that. But it will fit perfectly over your saddle if you want. So that's your saddle on there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's you can wear it right over top of your saddle.
That's
and
smooth.
Have no problem with
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
looks good.
So, yeah, it's a great tool, and for the price point, it's like $59.99. Like, it's kind of a no brainer. Yeah,
you can't beat that.
Do you guys ever see like one pack destroying the market of one of your guys' other packs? Does that make sense? Like, you know what I mean? Like, one's like, well, why would I buy that pack when I have that? Like, you guys have all these great packs that have their own use.
Well, it's one of those things. Like, it doesn't, you know, K's is obviously our number one because we specifically designed that for a purpose.
I love that pack. I ran that pack all year.
And it's hard to beat that, but I think like our new like EVA pack, the Palisade, I think will eventually take number one over it because it, you know, backpacks, you're not going to make everybody happy on one style, right?
True.
The K's works well because it kind of pinpoints to that consumer, that saddle hunter. And, but we took, when we launched the Palisade, it really reaches out to all hunters because one, it's cool because it's an EVA foam, so when you set it down it still stands upright, so it's almost kind of like a bucket style, so you can throw stuff in the top, but when you lay it down you can zip it open and still get all to the bottom, but it still carries a platform, it still carries your stick, so you still have it's still that versatile side of it. But you know, so we when we started designing packs, we started looking at, you know, really specific end users, and you know, so that's kind of how we really wanted to branch across all hunters when we designed the Palisade, and then you mix in the Sumpter, and that was basically it's a it's a case pack with a frame built into it.
I ran that during elk season. Yeah.
Yeah. You took that during elk season. So totally different style, but not really, you know, it's kind of a morph of the two, and which you can carry meat in it, which we had some great pictures from customers, you know, stacking full antelope in there. And we had one guy stack a whole doe in there. it was crazy. And, not even broken down doe. Like it just
in there.
Meat swung over and hung on his back and out the woods he went. It was pretty awesome. So it's cool to see when, cause we work so far out, like we're a couple products deep into 24, and we actually have a couple items for 25 we're already working on.
25.
So, wow. So when do we finally launch and then consumers start sending us pictures back? It's like, finally, you know, that's what it's so cool, you know, to see that.
I like the bucket style backpack because you can see everything in there.
That's what you're running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't personally, like, I have the Palisade and Sumter just always on standby because it's literally public versus private, because mm-hmm. I might have the preset, so I definitely like the Palisade more, or, you know, I just don't have to have that meat aspect. But I also have like battery chargers and everything else when I'm going deep, because right. I'm usually going all day. So it's like I literally can't decide between the Palisade and Sumter. If I had to pick, it'd be the Sumter, just because I do more public land hunting, or, you know, just deeper stuff. And I'm the same way with gear. Like I hate myself for taking that much.
Yeah, but you need it, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, I take the Sumter and I'm like, we were running deep Kentucky public, just, you know, 2 weeks ago for muzzleloader season. And it's, we both run in the Sumter, me and the guy that we're actually going to be hiring for a field producer here, this year. And, his was significantly lighter than mine. And I'm like trying to figure out why. We're running the same platform, same sticks, and like the whole setup. And I'm like, I just have way more crap.
Too much so, other shit.
I had a case of beer in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And all those bags of peanut M&Ms at the bottom. Right. Yeah.
We had jet boils, biscuits and gravy, Mountain House. We had set up. So we were cooking on the platform. It was freezing cold. It was a good time.
Mashed potato mixers.
You know. Oh, yeah. There you go. Right up your alley, Kurt.
Just in the new hack, you just mash potatoes right into a water bottle, shake it
good
up.
Right. Oh, good to go. Yep.
It is and nice during an all day sit. You're like, I'm glad I brought this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one thing I do want to touch on is the headlamp. That's a new thing. Break that down. Where'd that idea come from?
Yeah, it's kind of when you start looking at the consumer we're going after, right, this mobile hunter, you know, you start thinking, but really what we all use, right? Headlamp is one, you know, it's a vital, important item to your assortment. And so I actually have a good friend that works over at Nebo. So we just started talking and we started, you know, like, what do we want in it? You know, we want a bright LED, when we want a flood, we want it centralized white light, and then we definitely want red, you know, and dimmable kind of be kind of cool. And then we're like, okay, let's make it, how small can you make it? You know, and then I was like, can you make it this small? You know, size of your AirPod? And they're like, yeah, no problem, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we made it rechargeable. So it works great. You know, the key to it is, you know, because it is so small, is that you just got to charge it, you know, basically between each hunt. Mm-hmm. And I run two. I always have one on my head, and there's one always clipped to my pack, no matter where, you know? And that's kind of the backup one. Or if I'm not using this, I can turn that one on real fast and it's right there in front of me. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, it's just one of those items that, you know, might be overlooked by a lot, but everybody has some type of light with them, whether it's a small flashlight or a headlamp. So that's kind of our first movement into that world. Cause there's tons. Again, you're not going to make everybody happy. You know, if you're going on a 5-day backpacking trip or something like that, you're probably going to want something you can have interchangeable batteries, you know, but from a whitetail hunter that's coming and going all the time, it works great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. For sure.
Rechargeable is key to me because, you know, I've had so many different headlamps over the years, and some of them you can't find the batteries, you know, you got to go to a battery store to get the right battery. Some of them you just got double A's, but just having the ability to charge it at your house is game changer.
Well, that or every huge. What I do, I just keep the little charger cord hooked in the USB thing on my truck.
Right. Yeah, and
I just
think about that
right there in my center console thing. I just have it plugged in, and then it's just there.
Last thing you grab, and it is nice because you can put it on packs, you can put it on your hat, put it on. You know, you can do anything with it because it's so small. It has the clips, and you just throw it anywhere you want.
And if you're going hunting in the morning, you're not going to forget it.
Right.
Nope.
The afternoon, though, you might say that. You never know.
Yeah, the afternoon's a different story. That's all you. But you can have that. You know, you can just have it in your pack, and then it get you through. But
having two is a good idea. When we were in Wyoming on the bear camp, the one night I forgot my headlamp, so I walked out in the dark in Wyoming in the mountains.
Yeah,
so.
That's a problem.
That was a problem. So I might be purchasing another one in my pack.
Yeah, two's a great idea.
We ran like 2 days in a row hunt, and I forgot to charge it. So it was me, my son, my younger son, and we're like halfway through, and mine goes, ooh, it died. I was like, did you bring that light? He's like, yeah. I'm like, snatch, grab it off his head. I'm like, all right, we're good to go. Yep. You know, he didn't have his on. I was like, thank God. Same thing. You know, we had a long ways to go in the dark, so I was like, crap.
I just love that you guys are like tackling it's essential products for, you know, not only the whitetail hunter, the mobile hunter, but even further out, like the Sumter. I hunted with that pack out west. Like, it's just cool that you guys are open-minded and willing to like explore other like essential options and gear that works for specific purposes. Because like you said, you're never going to make anyone happy, but you guys offer different things that someone can grab for each use and stuff like that. So it's cool to see. It's refreshing to see. And to me, when I say it's surprising, I mean that as a compliment. I don't mean
absolutely. No, we love it. I mean, we're always, literally always working on something. It's sometimes I forget what day it is, just purely based on what we're working on and what part, you know, what time, part of that time frame we're working on. And I'm super excited for what we're getting ready to launch, but I know what we're already working on for a year from now. And I'm like super jacked because there's like certain things that are, you know, no one's ever seen before. That's what's really cool.
Okay. So there's one product that I'm not even going to like hint on, but I'm hopeful on. And I was texting you about them. Like, you guys need to make it's a piece of gear that I use that is shitty, but could be really good. And you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. I do.
I'm gonna stay quiet.
I remember the conversations.
I was like, if you guys can figure out how to make this good, mobile hunters everywhere will bow to you.
I do know.
Yeah. And we'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
We got you.
He says that's 2025. I don't know what you're talking about.
Conversations. Yeah.
and if it does happen, can we help name it?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's awesome.
I'm all about names, so
I like that. I like that.
I like it a lot.
Well, you guys come out with so much stuff. It's like I'm sitting there, you know. I'm like, man, Trevion could do this, and they could do this better.
Yeah, it's that's what I like. It's just we get a lot of ideas from our consumers, you know, or I think we do a really good job at listening because. Even amongst the forums, even all the craziness, right? There's a lot of good things that happen in there and ideas, whether it's improving something we're already working on or an idea that's tossed around, you know. Mm-hmm. And we really like to go after now things that, you know, aren't on the market. And once we start diving into it, we realize why they're not in the market. You know, we're working on one thing. It's literally been 2 years in the making. Like we're close, but we understand why it's not in the market because it's a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of frustration. Just something cool stuff.
So I got a weird question. What percentage of your ideas never come to fruition?
Yeah, it's a great question.
We were talking about this today.
Go to Sean's house.
I literally have a back room full of one-offs. So literally like make samples of something and we start talking about it and they're like, you're the only one that likes that. And like, it's not going to work, you know, or you know, we're getting better, you know, but we'll list, man, if I had to I mean, we've been on a good run. We've been on a really good run, you know, lately. I'd probably say 75, 80% lately for the last few years, you know, that we come up with, you know, but it might, whatever that idea started as might have changed 180 degrees, you know.
So you're saying still, 75, 80% makes it?
Yeah, makes it.
Wow.
But, yeah, wild. For the last, like I said, we've had a good run. You know, but I think it goes down to, like, it's easy to go, hey, I want to make all this shit, right? And then, but then it's like, all right, who are we going after? Who are we, right? And let's really, really narrow it down to what is that product, right? Mm-hmm. And then, because you can look at our past assortment and going, all right, where are the voids, right? And we can go, here's a channel we want to go after. And then, but what's the coolest out of all those? And then we kind of narrow it down from there. And then, you know, and it's literally, you know, we'll get on a group checks and people have ideas. And then we have a couple of different designers that we work with and they start spitballing and sketching on a napkin. And, you know, it really just morphs from there.
Badass.
And, yeah.
Great question, cool. Lee.
It's a fun process. That's a good question.
Go ahead, Wesson.
Yeah, I was going to say, then you'll have, like, you know, he's saying there's a channel here, the product fits, and then, like, you know, with the new thing hammered for 23 is, like, there's something that exists between all of those, too. And it, like, it may make everybody, you know, you can't make everybody happy, but you can dial it in and make everybody happy if you really think about it and work on it for long enough. So I think that, and then that's where the consumers coming in too, and ambassadors, and, you know, everybody that's helping us out and giving us feedback come in too, because we'll be on those calls and be like, we got a lot of comments on people wanting this particular thing, you know, whether it's adjustment to the platform or the backpack. So,
yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's cool. You guys are malleable and willing to, like, evolve. You have to be, right? If you're going to survive, you have to be.
Oh yeah. We talked about this earlier today. We're discussing with somebody else. Like, we don't take anything really personal, right? You know, when it comes to products, you know, we might put something out there and have, you know, a number of influencers, ambassadors play with it, or we take the product on a hunt and make tweaks to it. Like, at the end of the day, I know everybody is trying to improve that product, mm-hmm. you know, and if we're in that stage, we might be, you know, we might come out with it and still not make everybody happy. And
we can
go down that path and eventually tweak it. But, you know, if we're asking for feedback, we just be transparent with us. We can take it, you know?
For sure. And, real quick, so, we got some guys getting ready to jump on here. We do have, you know, we did the National Saddle Hunting day giveaway everything. It's just this big thing. We got some guys getting ready to jump on. They're knocking on the door here on the chat. But I wanted to touch on this real quick. Trade show season is coming up, and some people might not have a trophy line dealer near them or whatever, but they're interested from hearing on the show or seeing the launches and the giveaways and all that stuff. What shows are you going to be at that they can come out and get a hands-on on all your guys' products?
So we definitely know so far this year, besides ATA, we have the Harrisburg show, right? The big gauntlet. We'll be on one of the Mobile Hunting Expo shows. Not sure exactly what the dates are, and I think there's two this year. And then right now we're actually finalizing the rest of it. We'll be at a couple different Total Archery Challenges. And we'll be in more places this year than we were last year, and really kind of maybe not full shows, but we'll be partnering with some of our dealers and putting some events on from that standpoint.
Cool.
And really helping drive the business through our dealer site network.
Cool.
The Working Class Bow Hunter shoot.
Yeah, you guys come out to the shoot in June.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to start planning that. That's sneaking up on me fast. Well, anything we can do to promote and update people, you know, we'll definitely do that.
Absolutely.
Should I let the fellows in here?
Absolutely. Yeah, please do. Absolutely.
Okay. Might be some connection difficulties. Just a heads up to everybody. So we'll adjust and go from there. All right. Here they come. Okay. Hey, guys. We're interrupting the podcast. We're going to talk to you about Victory Archery. I don't shoot this arrow, so I can't say much, but I think that Austin and Eric want to talk about the VAP SS.
Why? I will say the VAP SS will kill a giraffe.
Pretty, doesn't get any bigger than that. I mean, do you need to say anything more?
All right. Victoryarchery.com. Check them out.
Just laid down the king.
I mean, really, it's a pretty bold statement. The podcast also brought to you by Spy Point Trail Cams. We're talking the Flex Cell Cam. The Flex is good, and I like the Flex, but the Link Micros are, I think, the army tank of the Spy Point family. But the Flex is easy. It works for a lot more people because it's flexible. You know, it can grab different cell signal. It grabs the strongest cell signal in your area. That's the easiest way to explain it without all the jargon. But, you know, rocking them, the Flex. Check them out, spypoint.com. And we're talking Leupold Optics. We're going to talk about the BX2 Alpine 10x42 binos. That is a very affordable set of Leupolds. A lot of places carry the BX2 Alpine. It's a solid, solid optic to get into the Leupold family, and I think highly overlooked for a lot of bow hunters in the Midwest.
That's right.
Binos and a harness ready to rock. So overlooked, in my opinion. So check them out, leupold.com. Tell them we sent you if you get some. And Scent Crusher. Got the Scent Crusher closet in the studio. We actually just stored it away because no one's going to be hunting out of the studio for a while, but we had a Scent Crusher closet here at the studio when people would come in. We don't have a shower here actively because we're gross, and people just need to kill the odor on their clothes.
We just put people in there and then turn it on.
It's not a bad idea, actually. But the roller bag, the gear bag, I leave soon on a hunting trip with Devin Leonard, and my gear bag is going to be my luggage.
Yep.
So I'm just going to rock it down there. I don't know.
It was our luggage all the way to South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it held up. I think the storage component of Scent Crusher is overshadowed by the scent killing, scent crushing component of Scent Crusher, which of course, but it gives you a good place to store your clothes and keep them fresh. So,
and you can fit a lot of shit in there.
Fit a lot of stuff in there.
The bags are no joke too. I fly with mine everywhere, and you know, I pack it full of 70 pounds worth of stuff, and, mm-hmm. and it holds up to baggage handlers.
Dude, they came like so far, you know, like everything's an evolution. Like Scent Crusher always made good stuff, but before it was like wasn't as durable, and then it finally just became like better and better and better mm-hmm. through the, you know, the progression of the product, and it's just dialed in now. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, check them out. That's now Faradyne.com/Scent Crusher. I mean, see all the products there and what's available. Back to the podcast. Sorry for interrupting. Peace.
Thank you guys, Alec and Thomas, for joining. And thank you guys and everybody listening that did join the National, you know, Saddle Hunting Day giveaway. Everybody that joined up. We had a lot of people enter that, and it went pretty far. And can't thank, you know, Kurt, you guys, everybody for helping, all of the partners that helped us as well, from, you know, PSC Bows to Huntworth, Ozonix, you know, there's countless to name there. And, you know, it was over $10,000 worth of prizes. You know, you got turkey hunt, mobile hunting kits for both of you guys, regardless of who wins the big one, the big package, and just a ton of other gear. And, I can't thank everybody else that's listening that, you know, entered that, and, really excited. You guys are probably like me. I enter so much giveaways and so much shit, and I never win. So I remember Thomas, I contacted Thomas, and he's like, yeah, this, you know, we get plagued with fake accounts like everybody.
Yeah.
Do giveaways. And Thomas didn't believe me when I contacted him. So I had to chase him down and like, you know, here's my verification, you know.
That's awesome.
They'll never ask for your credit card information.
Yeah. Give me your social security number. You're good. Well, I want to thank you guys for making the Working Class Bow Hunter a part of that and letting us kind of like, in a way, really be some of the faces of that giveaway and National Saddle Hunting Day, which is awesome that you guys have that. It's like another thing Trophy Line's got. So we appreciate that. I feel like it was a success. So thank you guys. Round of applause to you guys for some success. And then these guys, as you can tell, if you're watching this on video somewhere, they're so excited to be winners.
Why don't Alec, I guess you start. We'll start with the A name here first. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little about, you know, where you're at, what you like to do hunting wise.
So I'm from Ohio, so on the western side of the state, Mercer County. predominantly, you know, flat land, farm, a lot of agriculture. So the wood lots are kind of smaller and, you know, there's not really a whole lot of big sections unless you get up along the river. You know, so I started hunting, you know, when I was fairly young, started with gun hunting a lot, then kind of got into the archery. And from there, it's just kind of snowballed. So, as of last, you know, 4 or 5 years, we've kind of gotten into, you know, myself and a couple of buddies, we've been, you know, going out to some public land in like Southeast Ohio. So, you know, it's just, the terrain features are just completely different, you know, and I'm used to, you know, having a ladder stand that I just go hunt. So going into that, I started kind of, you know, exploring the mobile hunting. I didn't really know a whole lot about it. I started off with like a huge, you know, platform hang on stand you get from like Real King. It's just heavy as shit with you, you know, and I just lug all that stuff in there. And then I guess as the years progressed, I've kind of gotten smaller and smaller as far as like the whole stand goes. And I've gotten lighter. So I've actually got, last year I got some, so I think it's some of the Hawk Helium off of the Camo Fire app that you guys always talk about. I got those for a good deal. So I used those this year with another, just a smaller stand I got on sale at Dunham's for like $30. They made me like sign a waiver saying if I fell out of it.
You know, I
lugged that around down in the hills in Southeast Ohio. So, you know, that's, you know, it's just a completely different hunting game from what I'm used to around here. So we don't really have a whole lot of public land in my hometown area. So, you know, it's all kind of private, you know. Yeah. Most people, you know, you can usually get a couple access pieces, but you're never alone. So.
Yeah, right.
Kind of this state. So I'm 24 years old, I guess. I forgot to mention that. So
great mustache on you for 24.
That's a good mustache.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Doug over here is jealous.
He's sweating. 10 years on you.
Yeah.
That ain't true. Uh-huh.
Doug's been outstashed.
No shit.
I think Doug's got him.
Give him another couple of years. I think he's getting me in trouble.
Yeah.
I usually just have it for like, you know, the no shave November, and then this year I started to, you know, just keep it for a little while, just until, I don't know, might shave it off the first year. We'll see.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Keep that.
Yeah.
Change your life.
I mean, if you killed something this year, you got to keep it.
You want a giveaway, bro? It's obviously paying off.
It's like,
yeah. Last year I shaved it and ended up killing. This year I left and ended up killing. So. You know,
oh, you gotta leave it.
Yeah, leave it.
And the dude's just slaying it with the ladies for sure. Love it. So, well, awesome, man. It's cool to hear some background on you, and sounds like you're not scared to like get after a little bit. So, what better winner to win some mobile hunting gear, right? Like, that's awesome. So,
what'd you kill this year?
Yeah. So I ended up actually shot a doe like first day of November. Kind of, it was like honestly like my first real goat, like a mobile hunt around here. I went with a buddy, and you know, we were about, I don't know, 45 minutes from home. Get all the way there, you know, I guess I'm getting ready to walk into the woods with my new setup that I just, you know, kind of rigged up, and I left my quiver at home. So
been there.
Thankfully, we're early enough. My dad, he was off work, and he was able to. I ended up going in the woods and finding a spot, setting it up, and then he, you know, I walked back up to the road. He dropped it off, and I ended up killing that night. You know, so shot a doe then, and then hunted real hard through, you know, middle of November. You know, after a buck holding out, passing a lot of does. You know, I had a pretty decent half rack at one point. Obviously, a couple smaller bucks. You know, same story as everybody else. But ended up the buck I was after, never connected with him. Ended up shooting a different one in gun season because I actually thought the one I was after. You know, he kind of vanished after the first weekend or the first day of gun season, but he's actually still around. So a couple of buddies I know got some trail camera pictures of him. So I guess Ohio is a one buck state. So maybe next year, but I guess for this year, I'm, you know, pretty well done as far as the antler hunting goes. So I don't know. Might go out and shoot another doe yet. We'll see. Got some late season here. So
cool, man.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Kick ass.
Congrats.
Man. Good to hear. Weston, you're hosting right now, dude. I'm following your lead.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. We'll just carry it on. Thomas, tell us about you, man.
Yeah, so I'm Thomas. I'm 27. I'm from a small town in South Carolina. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. Getting like a little bit of background noise.
It's all good. Sounds like you're in a kitchen, but that's all good.
In a kitchen?
Yeah, it's all good. You're fine, man. You're fine. I'm just messing with you.
But yeah, so I'm from a small town, Jackson, South Carolina. It's right near Augusta, where they play the Masters, so everybody probably knows where that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we have a decent amount of public land around us. There's a big balm plant basically near us that has about 10,000 acres that they let us hunt on Fridays and Saturdays, and then we have some national forest. But yeah, I got in the saddle hunting a couple years ago. just to be lighter for bow hunting. And I hunt some private land out of a saddle just because I think it's more comfortable than sitting in a tree stand. My back feels better after sitting in a saddle than sitting in a tree stand, in my opinion. Yeah, like Alex said, they got a 1 buck state. We have like a 5 buck state.
Complete opposite.
All of the bucks.
We're not killing any giants down here.
Yeah, yeah.
You kill one that's like 125 and you're pretty happy about it. Not that a 125 is bad anywhere.
For sure.
But yeah, we're not killing any giants. But I did pretty good this year. I've been hunting probably the biggest deer any of my friends have ever seen for a while. He's probably 150, maybe 160.
Nice.
On my grandma's like 40 acres. And he disappeared last October. And I don't know if he died of old age. He was mature when I started hunting him. Yeah. And probably why I never killed him. But so this year, having a baby and not knowing how much I would get to hunt, I just kind of went straight meat hunting this year and shot a few does, shot a couple bucks, and shot a hog. And so filled the freezer up.
Awesome.
Damn. Heck yeah. Sounds awesome, dude. Five bucks season.
That's insane.
That's why I like when we talk to the guys from like, you know, southern states, more southern states. Like, yeah, I don't know what state it was. Like, yeah, we can kill, is it Florida or certain parts in Georgia? Like, we can kill a deer a day and whatever. But it's like, what? A buck? Like, yeah. We can kill like a buck every day.
Yeah.
I can't even kill one.
It used to be we had no buck tags.
Really?
Really? That's crazy.
You could just, you killed basically as many as you wanted. But
man, that's
wild. Then they
just deer.
Oh, it's not that you couldn't shoot them. You could just shoot as many as you wanted.
Just a random buck, buck doe, no matter what.
There was people that like dog hunting is somewhat still a thing around here and everything.
Right.
So, I mean, there'd be people, you know, that kill 2 or 3 bucks every day or whatever. You know?
Yeah. You should see the new product Trophy Line's got. It's a dog saddle. you ride a dog and it just takes you there. Yeah.
2024.
Okay. Doggy style.
Something for everybody. If you can help me test it.
That's the name. That's the product name. Got it. Doggy style saddle.
Inappropriate.
Yeah. Sorry.
We're trying to give some stuff away.
They always take a left turn.
Yeah. All right. You guys should have picked a different podcast to do this.
I think it's cool where these guys are from because when you look at our consumer base, like our company, we like our top states are, you know, up in the Northeast and Michigan. And then literally it takes a left turn in like Georgia. It's one of our top states from a consumer basis. But I think it contributes to, there's a lot of public land, right? And there's a lot of hunters and you obviously your target rich environment there with, lots of tags available. So that makes a lot of sense. So it's kind of cool, you know, with myself and from PA, Weston from Indiana, and then Alec there, you're in Ohio and Thomas down in Georgia. It's kind of a cool tie from that aspect. And I'd be honest with you, I love the young side of it too. You know,
isn't Thomas from Carolina?
South Carolina.
Right on the river. So pretty much touch. Yep. Georgia.
Oh, I got you. I don't know geography well.
south or north. There you go.
Yeah, it's like over there.
One of those.
Was that a tough subject?
Where's the southern accent start? That's where I know.
Okay. Southern Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah,
it starts
right where I'm at, too, just down here in southern Indiana.
Yeah, like southern Indiana.
Kentuckiana.
Pretty much the Mason-Dixon line. That's where it starts.
Yeah. Okay.
That depends on where you come from. For us, it starts in South Carolina. The people in North Carolina might talk a little funny.
Yankees. Yeah.
It is cool. Like, it's interesting. An interesting point you brought up. It's like, you know, mobile hunting. Yeah. What is the number one state for mobile hunting? But it's like where guys are getting after it, the density of hunters. And it's just a good tool to use, really, no matter where you're at. Yeah. Like, you hear about guys out west in Utah trying to hunt elk and mule deer. Like, that's becoming more popular.
Well, it's funny with those guys out there that we found is if they're using it, they're not really telling anybody about it.
Yeah,
like really quiet about it. Like
everybody around here used to be. Yeah,
we did.
Used to be.
Yeah, used to be.
We did one of the pack events out at Utah, and we had a number of guys coming along, and be like, "I've been using it for years," and they'd kind of sneak over and tell. And I'm like, "All right, tell your friends." They're like, "Ah, no,
can't do that. Can't do that."
Because they kind of got it down pat. Like if they. You know, if they use cameras where they're at, and put it up on watering holes, they kind of know what's coming in and when, and they go early and up in a saddle. You know, it's kind of game over.
Well, the first challenge, yeah, the people from Utah, they just have to once they get their ears tucked out of their hat, then they're onto it. Then they can start admitting other things. You know what I mean? It's baby steps with them out there. We have buddies in Utah. That's why I can make jokes about them. But it starts with the ears not tucked in your hat, and then they can admit that they use a saddle or a mobile hunting setup to hunt elk and mule deer, right?
Or even a tree stand at all.
Or yeah, or just anything, really, anything like that. But you hear about guys doing it, which I think, if it'd be an effective tool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Totally. You got to think about a saddle. It's not really heavy, so you can carry it in there. And then if you don't want to hunt in the tree, you just keep it on.
Right. Yeah. It's just there. Yeah. That's a good point.
That's what's cool about you guys, Alex and Thomas. You are the majority of our consumer, right? You're not – I always think of when I say tip of the spear, right? I think of Cameron Haynes and those guys that are just hardcore going after it.
Us.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like you, but different.
You
were there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just like you, but different.
Your ears weren't tucked in enough.
No, because these two guys are just, they're literally just like us, right? How you guys grew up and what you started on and where you're kind of evolving into, whether you're getting the saddle hunting or just mobile hunting in general, right? At the end of the day, you want something that's a little lighter, a little stealthier, right? And that you can go further and not kill yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's cool. It's cool that you guys got picked for this out of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that put in. I'd be kind of curious from both your sides, where did you see our national saddle hunting promotion going on, and where'd you put in at from a social media or email or whatever? Maybe I'll start with you, Thomas. Where'd you see it? Did you see it on social media or you follow us? I'd be just kind of curious where you saw it.
Yeah, I saw it on Instagram. Honestly, yeah. I was probably feeding the baby, scrolling Instagram, and decided to put in for it just because I was sitting there scrolling.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, I think I'm also signed up for y'all's emails and stuff too. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get them now. I don't know if I got them before that giveaway or not, but probably.
He was invested already.
Yeah,
Alec, what about you, dude?
Yeah, so I think you guys might have shared it on the WCV Instagram page, maybe. Yeah, I think that's where I've seen it.
Nice.
I've heard you guys talk about the saddles and everything. I don't own one still, but I've kind of rigged up my own with my safety harness. I just basically bought a 24-inch stone truss 6 and put it on my the lineman loops, and then just bought some rope and then just a triple wrap truss 6 on that. Just been hanging out of a tree on that. It's not the most comfortable,
but
it's just kind of a start. So.
God, you needed this.
At 24, you can do that. Yeah.
Alex over there signing waivers. Don't die.
Don't do this. Don't
the trophy line guys are crazy.
Yeah. Please get this kid a saddle.
Saved his life.
Yeah. Paracord's 550, right? It's like, hey, man, easy.
Yeah.
Wow. Before, we have a the winner to announce and the runner-up to announce, obviously. But before we dive into that, we wanted to share with you guys the brand new thing for us. This podcast coming out right around ATA. We're launching a big thing for us for 23. We'll let, I guess, Sean, you do the honors of kind of showing this thing off and
let
these guys know, regardless of the winner or runner up, you guys are both going to get this in your mobile hunting kit.
Yeah, so this podcast will launch January 11th. So
that's
the first day of the archery show. And so we're launching a new product, but we've been kind of teasing it all the way back to Halloween. One thing that we've been known for is our platforms. That's not us saying it. If you just follow any of the forums, we, you know, started with our mission. Then we went to the EDP, and then we did the wingman with the slope on the front. And so we started, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer. We're like, okay, what's the next evolution of that? And so we started taking benefits and features from both, all three of those. And we're like, what if we just mashed it together? You know, what would ultimately, you know, what would it look like? And then two, what do we have now? And how do we just make things better, you know, at the end of the day? And from a saddle hunter, you're always, most of us lean, you know, or if not, you're leaning at a certain particular time. Myself, I lean 95% of the time, if not more. So taking those features of, you know, a nice size platform, maybe not quite as big as the Mission, some cool features from the EDP with, you know, different foot placements, and then the slope of the Wingman was like, you know, we did this thing at Halloween. We threw it in a cauldron. Our friend there, Weston, was like, okay, if you threw all those in there, melted and pulled it out, what would come from the kind of fruition of this? And what we come up with is what we call, we see it on the table there. We call it the Onyx. And so again, good size platform. It actually falls right in between our EDP and our Mission platform from a space allocation side of it. Lots of good foot placements on the side, so you always have a place for your boot. And then what we did was we added three side angles to the entire thing. So whether you're on the side of it, which actually I spend most of my time, or on the front, basically, you eliminate that ankle fatigue where you might have a sharp edge. And so you have three sides angles to it. And then what we did here, too, is we did a one piece molded post where our other two are extruded aluminum with a plastic step piece. What we did was we built in the top step with an offset bracket into it, and we call it the claw. It's kind of cool. What we found was once you cinch this thing, ratchet down the front of it. I'm telling you, me, you, Weston, we could all stand on the front of this corner and it's not going anywhere. It absolutely locks in rock solid. And, one of the other things we had feedback from our Mission, our EDP, we had more of a bump style on the bottom, which some guys didn't like when it rode against their back, but most of them carrying it with a pinch. So we reduced that bump on it a little more. And then we still have a leveler so we can level the platform itself. But yeah, so we're launching this for 2023 on January 11th, the first day of ATA. Super excited about this. We actually have a couple provisionals in place for patents on this. There's the three-sided angles and also the integrated offset bracket into the top step. So super excited about this. You both guys are getting one of these. You guys will actually be the first consumers in the country actually to get these.
That's awesome.
Sometime early next week to you. And they don't go, the consumers can start buying these on January 11th, either awesome. From our website or local dealers.
Love it, man. That's big news. That's big news.
That's got to make you boys feel pretty cool. Also, being the first two in the nation.
I want to point this out too, Sean and Weston. Don't send Doug one because he left to go pee during the launch.
Can't trust that guy.
I'll take Doug's.
I'm going to take this one home with me.
What the fuck? What is this?
At least he didn't fall asleep. Doug. At least he didn't fall asleep.
He was about to get sleep. So this is really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, it is.
I've spent time and up until this, the Onyx, and all of your guys' platforms, and I like them all. And it's one of those things you're like, man, you like them all for different reasons. So to have them all in one, it's like, that's the platform, right?
I think a lot of it was like, in particular the Wingman, they love the angle so much. And, you know,
when you if you put more angles on the side of it, it kind of loses the purpose of stacking the stick and slim profile and things like that. So it's like, again, customer feedback. They want that. They love the angle. Everybody, we see that, and then they wanted it on all the sides. But if you actually look, I mean, yes, it's all three sides, but there's like if you move around that, you can actually pivot, and there's angles pretty much all over that thing.
Yeah, yeah, even on the corners, right? Three. Right. You can make the hard corner side of it, so we made sure it was sloped from that aspect. What's really cool about this, what, cool and gives us headache and heartache, is you know, we actually had this done, ready to go, and ready to go to mass production in Illinois, but we wanted to do one final test, so we actually went to Manitoba on a bear hunt. And this design was different up here. It was actually offset bracket was kind of a little bit lower, kind of very similar to what we had. And when we went on that bear hunt, it was like, I don't know, five or 6% of the trees we put it on. You know, when you put the Versa strap around, it just nipped like one of the offset brackets. I'm just talking like a hair, but we felt like, over time, if somebody kept using the same tree, like it would wear that strap down. And I'm talking, it was so minute, but it was actually eating at us. Like it was we couldn't go to market with it. So we were going to post a launch this thing in July. And so we literally scrapped a really expensive mold on this thing and went back and redesigned it. And I think it actually, when we redesigned it and we came up with this idea, I think it actually made it better. You know, one, it made it something cool, something totally different that's in the market now. And then I feel like it actually makes it a little bit stronger because you got the little bit further away from the bottom of the platform now too, and up here. And like I said, once you ratchet this thing down,
that's not gonna move.
And cam it down, it is solid. So
for sure,
I that speaks it. To your quality and your standards in your company, right. Man.
Yes. I know how expensive those molds are just from hearing conversations. And
exactly, Evan and I went to Manitoba and we're at High Five and we're sitting in this thing and we hunted the first night and then the next day we kind of playing with it and I'm like we're running around like camp putting on different trees and I'm like, you gotta be shitting me.
That's exciting.
We both
killed
a bear out of it, so it was like super cool. So, but that's part of the you know what we put these things through. You know, we did a 3D print of it and everything beforehand, but it wasn't until you put weight on it, right, and you could really understand what it was going to happen, what you were going to go through. So it was cool.
No, I love it. I love that you guys are willing to admit that too. Like that's a big deal in itself.
Yeah, it's part of the process
for sure.
So it's good and bad.
Yeah.
You guys obviously want a quality product. You're not going to put something out there that doesn't work for everybody. Like you're going to test and put the best one out there. You guys can't.
Not only that, the forums, man, will eat you alive.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we knew. Like the mission set the bar, and when we did that and we did the testing on it and where they finally broke was like off the chart. So everyone after that was like, all right, here's the bar. I'm like, we're not settling for less.
Yeah.
So when the EDP came out, it was a little above and the mission or the wingman. And then, so that's why when we decided, like, all right, we're going to have to wait, you know, and it really literally delivered. You know, we're not launching now until January when it's supposed to be in July. So, at the end, we're super excited with how it came out. So,
yeah,
it's awesome. Man.
You two guys get the first one. That's pretty cool. There's not right now, I'll be honest with you, there hasn't been that many critters killed out of these things. A few bucks and a couple bear and a couple does and that's about it. And outside of our small core of people that have it. So you guys will be the first consumers to to lay your hands on it. These will ship out the door probably on Tuesday to you guys.
That's awesome. And,
So Wednesday, Thursday, we expect to see some pictures.
A hog, anything.
Yeah.
A coyote, raccoon, whatever you can get.
Whatever
squirrel,
extra yeah. dough. Squirrels,
yeah, squirrels, anything you can get going. It'd be great. That's awesome. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Weston, you're the host right now. Where do we go?
Well, I think we have to announce the winner and the runner-up.
Let me read out the two packages they get, and then you can announce the winner. So the runner-up gets a Covert Light saddle kit. So it's a saddle, lineman rope, tree tether rope. You get a set of double-step mini sticks. You get the new Onyx platform and our new brand-new Palisade pack. It's roughly $850 retail value. Then the first place, the grand prize winner, wins a Palisade pack, double step mini sticks, the Venatic saddle kit with ropes, our new dry bag, our new bino harness with rangefinder pouch, back band, the Kong duck to go with the tech core ropes, bow sling, our new headlamp, the new Onyx platform. You get a PSC Omen. You also get, it's totally outfitted with red line, quiver, sight, stabilizer, and bow case. Huntworth, you get the heat boost jacket and pants.
Our people right there.
Camo. Ozonix, partners at Ozonix threw in the entire outfitter pack, which is, the big encasing. You put your hunting clothes inside it with the machine. GPO, you get the 10x42 Passion binos with the 1800 rangefinder. Conquest Sense, our partners there. They got a nice prize package from that. Analogix has a nice product package there. Genesis 3D Printing, those guys are awesome. It comes with a sub camera arm. It's like 1 pound. Super cool. I've been using it with our iPhone. Innovating the Outdoors. It's the dew claw that straps around the tree, holds your bow, and then also carries your double step mini stick hooks. Weston Brands, not that Weston, the food processing guys.
It'll do.
You're getting an indoor smoker, a slow cooker, electric meat grinder, a wet and dry vacuum sealer, and a handheld smoke infuser. And then to top it all off, our boys at Working Class Bowhunters, a bunch of their swag. To top it all off, you get to come on a turkey hunt with the Working Class boys and ourselves. We're narrowing that down to I think might be in Maryland in April time frame. So either way, like, it's gonna be a good time with the crew. But you know, it's roughly a little over $10,000 package on the grand prize winner. We've always done it over a week long, give away winners every single day. And we just said, you know what, this year let's just smash it into one day and pick, you know, two winners and one really good prize and one unbelievable prize. And let's partner up with the Working Class guys and let's try to do this thing live on the podcast giveaway. Here you two guys are.
They look nervous.
It's intense. They look nervous. It's like, geez. Like,
breathe, boys. Breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if the runner up, the runner up punches the computer screen, we understand.
It's still pretty awesome.
It's long
still,
off.
Still pretty awesome.
Go ahead, Thomas.
I said it's still like $1,000 worth of stuff.
I'd be fine with that. If you don't want it, I'll go ahead and take it. It's fine.
No, it's pretty awesome, man. It's cool. Again, thanks for letting us be a part of this. It's we're dudes with a podcast, man. Like, what are we doing in here right now? You know, It's pretty awesome. So
it's good stuff, man. We just wanted to try to think outside the box a little bit different and do this different than the normal giveaway that you see a lot of people do, and really to kind of bring into the circle that we're all living right now. And
love it.
So yeah, good stuff. So Weston, we'll leave it up to you.
All right. Well, I really tried thinking of like some really high pizzazz way to like announce this, and I have nothing. So I don't know. I mean, Kurt could probably think of something better than I could on that. But you know, when in terms of picking the winner, we ran it through a random number generator, matched the number, and the guy that won the package was the first name drawn, and the runner up was the very second name. And you guys both answered the emails right away. You know, we had to verify you guys. Not robots, whatever, right? So, this is literally first and second picks and randomly generated. So
dun, dun.
The main winner for the $10,000 package, I got to have a drum roll.
Is not.
No, the main winner is Alec.
Boom, Alec.
The main winner is Alex. Thomas, you're the runner up. So
congrats, boys.
Guys.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
That's great. Boys.
If you guys want a fist fight, we'll host this for a real winner later.
There you go. Live
get
stream.
Get us to ATA Annapolis at ATA. We'll set the ring up. And get our
yep. Yeah.
No. All good. All good. Hey,
I will travel to Maryland to turkey hunt with y'all on my own dime if I have to.
That sounds cool, too. That sounds cool, too.
Yeah.
We could probably fit that in. So
very cool.
Good stuff.
Well,
But man, thank you two guys. You know, again, you guys are why we're here, right? It's why Working Class is there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for guys like yourself, we're nobody. At the end of the day, we love surrounding ourselves with people like yourself. Everybody that works at Trophy Line, and I know everybody that works at Working Class, are very similar to you guys and whether it's how you hunt or just who you are. So we appreciate you guys entering and congrats on the win. You know, two great prizes. Like you said, Thomas, that's almost $1,000 package. And then obviously Alex with the grand prize win there at $10,000 plus. We will actually start shipping these out this week to you guys. We'll probably won't get everything at once, and especially with all the weather that's been happening. So we've been waiting till it freeze up a little bit. But these things will start arriving to you probably early next week, and then we'll start making arrangements from the turkey hunt side of it, Alex and. But Thomas, we'll definitely let you know where we're at. So
UPS is going to be busy.
No doubt. It's going to be a
doubt.
Party though. It's going to be a party. So congrats to you guys, man. That's awesome. I'm stoked for you guys.
Yeah, dude.
And you guys, it's like we've done giveaways in the past and it's always, this sounds, you just want to pick the right people, right? You hope the right people win and the people mm-hmm. that are going to like really appreciate and utilize what they won. And I don't think there's any problem at all with either of you guys. Like, all this gear is going to be put to good use,
mm-hmm.
and you guys both seem like passionate outdoorsmen that know your way around the woods a little bit, so that's exciting.
And the mustache.
The mustache now.
If you shave that mustache by the time this turkey hunt comes up, Doug is going to just kiss you straight on the mouth.
Don't show up.
You got to keep it now.
You got to keep it.
Whoever doesn't kill a turkey shaves it.
That's
pressure.
Nice. You're asking Doug to delete his personality.
Yeah,
like, I know.
To disappear.
That's all he's got.
No, I think it was awesome, and congrats to you guys again. And it's pretty cool. You guys get to be obviously on the podcast. That's a prize in itself with just hanging out with us, and then being a part of a product launch. That's really cool too. So
very awesome.
You'll be able to push this all to your friends starting January 11th when the podcast goes live. So
they'll be cool. Like, why couldn't you got on the Meat Eater podcast?
Yeah. They were busy.
Yeah, they were busy. Yeah. I'm kidding. Shout out to those
guys.
They
weren't giving away free shit like we are.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's awesome, guys. Thanks for letting us be a part of this. Whatever you guys want to, Weston, you're hosting right now. Whatever you want to take this from here, man, I'm following your lead.
No, man, I you're a better ender than I am, better closer. But no, I just can't thank everybody else that's, you know, listening, that entered, helped support us, and
more to come. You know, more to come. We'll be doing more of these.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome.
Ultimately, we love a lot more to cover. Customer. So,
well, congratulations, guys. Thank you, guys, Trophy Line, for having us to be a part of this. And including us the way you have. I love, like, the shift in the industry. It's like podcasts. We're finally, like, a form of media that people look at now. So that's exciting. You know, so it's cool. It's cool to be a part of this industry, to be a part of good people and community. And I'm looking forward to this turkey hunt. So thank you, guys.
That's going to be a blast.
Thomas, Alec, thank you, guys. Congrats.
Yeah, congrats, and guys.
Congratulations.
Everybody watching, listening at home, thank you for the support. We're looking forward to bringing you a full year of content and hopefully more kills out of Trophy Line gear. And you know what to do? Go shoot your bow. We love you. Peace out, guys. Thank you.